Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me, I have Steve, Chris, Bob, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the Epcot 30th anniversary.
Oh, and, I'm excited.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party over at the Magic Kingdom. So we had... Let's see, it was... Actually, all three of you were there.
Everybody won except Lisa and I.
Wait a minute. Something's just not adding up here. The three of you were all at Epcot 30th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
You guys stink.
All right. If it makes you feel better, it was kind of a letdown.
All right, well, tell us why.
Well, Epcot 30th, they didn't really do that much. I mean, so we're standing in line. Me, Bob, Donna are all standing in line together. And right before they open everything up, like literally four streamers come down from the top of a building. And that's like, I was like, oh God, please don't let Bob see that because he's going to rag on Disney, you know, for that. And it was pretty funny. I mean, I was like, is that it? Four streamers?
Well, there was an announcement like, are you excited to join us today for Epcot's 30th? You know, and then, yeah, these four streamers went off. And then there was a mad dash for people to go get merchandise.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, the line to Mouse Gears, where all of this 30th anniversary merchandise was, most of it, you know, limited edition in quantity, was several thousand people long. And that's not an exaggeration. I mean, it actually stretched all the way to Spaceship Earth, and then they had to reverse the line, and people were stretched all the way to the entrance to World Showcase.
Ugh.
So it was huge. In that respect, it was kind of a letdown because I think, you know, Chris and I and probably Lauren, I mean, were thinking that they were going to do something at least sort of similar to what they did for Magic Kingdom's 40th, where, you know, they do some kind of a presentation in the morning and, you know, like, thank you for joining us and we're here to celebrate and we're honored that you could be here. And, you know, and they didn't do any of that. I mean, apparently later in the day, they did a rededication ceremony. And they had, you know, speakers there and they had the Voices of Liberty perform. But that was held at the American Gardens Theater over by the U.S. Pavilion, America Pavilion. And, of course, you had to wait in line to get in and it was limited seating. So it seemed like, you know, the emphasis on celebrating Epcot's 30th was, you know, mostly on the D23 events that had taken place.
Yeah, the day before.
The couple of days before, which, you know, that's all well and good that people can do that. But again, those were only open to D23 members who paid to get into them. And my understanding is that they were so popular that, you know, supply, demand greatly exceeded supply. So there were a lot of people who couldn't even get into those events. Who wanted to. So, while I'm told they were awesome and they had, you know, past Imagineers talking about, you know, what it took to build Epcot and Epcot's history and what they foresee for the future of Epcot and all these different presentations and, you know, awesome stuff, you know, the majority of the public didn't get to see any of that. And, you know, again, on the 30th, I think they had two presentations that D23 made available to everybody. By Marty Sklar. But again, you had to, you know, it was limited seating at the American Gardens Pavilion, so you had to wait to get into them, and hope that you got a seat. And then I'm not even sure if the average guest knows who Marty Sklar is, you know, so...
So who is he?
You know, I knew you were going to put me on the spot.
That's what I get paid the big bucks for.
Are you Googling?
No, he's
coughing. No, he's choking.
Shall I do that again?
Just hold on one
second. Oh, okay. You are Googling.
Oh, I could have told you who Marty Sklar was.
show off.
But nobody asked me. I've read his book, people.
Answer, Chris. All right.
No, that's okay. You go ahead.
Hold on.
Marty Sklar was like a bad Mamma Jamma engineer. He was a vice president and then the president of Imagineering.
Well,
people.
Chris, you answer it.
Reintroduce it. Yeah. No, reintroduce that because it sounds terrible. Yeah. Just reintroduce it and go for it.
Okay, so who is he? Can anyone answer that?
He's a famous Imagineer, and he actually designed the Tiki Room, and it's a small world. I mean, he had some hand in helping to design it. Not all that credit goes to him. And he was the president of Imagineering. So he's sort of like a god among Imagineers.
Among Imagineers. He's an Imagineering god. Well, but so, yeah, I'm sure that there were people who arrived on Epcot's 30th, who didn't even know that it was Epcot's 30th, and were wondering why there were all these crowds waiting.
And why people were standing in line for 4 hours for pins.
Right, exactly. And so that was pretty much a letdown. I mean, I don't know if they were trying to avoid the chaos that was Magic Kingdom's 40th, but I didn't think that this setup was any better. Celebratory map. Basically all it said was, you know, October 1st, 2012, Epcot's 30th, and had like a, you know, an old logo on it. So it was really nothing special. And they had a pin that said, you know, October 1st, 2012, Epcot, that, you know, everybody got as they, you know, not even a pin, a big button. But other than that, it was, I don't know. You guys feel the same way, that it was kind of a letdown overall?
Yeah, I didn't think it was anything major.
No. Oh, I thought it was terrible. I mean, I agree. I thought it would be exactly like the 40th, you know, to a certain extent, and it wasn't at all.
But maybe Epcot's just not as important.
Oh, well, in some people's eyes, but come on.
I mean, I love Epcot, don't get me wrong, but I have nothing to compare it to. I didn't go to the 40th.
Well,
I liked the 40th, obviously. I was the only one.
You know, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised they didn't at least make a statement or recognize, you know, employees who had been there 30 years or
I thought they were supposed to do that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard, but I guess, you know, plans can change or whatnot. And you know, a lot of rumors and things go around in the weeks and days leading up to it. But so, yeah, it was just a whole lot of nothing. And I'm sure people who didn't even know that it was Epcot's 30th were wondering, like, why are all these people sprinting to Mouse Gears? And yeah, it was, you know, and immediately all that merchandise, of course, ended up on eBay, you know.
Inevitably.
I think people were still in line and it was on eBay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of stuff that sold out. I mean, like, I think there were some rare Noah created vinylmations that there were only like 10 of, and those were gone pretty quickly, and pin sets that were gone, somebody took a picture of somebody buying $700 worth of shirts, you know.
Let me just interject, as somebody who had never gone to an anniversary event at Disney, I thought it was interesting to see the amount of time that people are willing to actually spend online to purchase a pin. Or, I mean, you couldn't even get into Mouse Gear. You had to, there was only one door open to get into Mouse Gear to actually shop in the store for non-30th anniversary.
Right.
It was just interesting to watch because people were walking by looking at the lines going, what is that for? Like people that didn't
know. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there are some diehards who I know bought stuff just for themselves, for the collection. You know, they wanted those pins or they wanted a shirt.
Right. And don't get me wrong, I got both of those. I bought a pin and I bought a shirt, but I didn't stand in the line for either one. I waited until later.
Okay. And you got what was left over. I don't know. And even that, I mean, I felt that, you know, because they had some of the stuff available, you know, a couple days beforehand. And I wasn't impressed really with what I saw. I mean, the shirts especially, I thought were very, very thin, you know, and not really that great quality.
80s like to me.
Well, yeah, that
well,
you know, that,
the, yeah, they were deliberately retro, which people kind of like. That those are really popular, but still, you know.
Overall, I think it was kind of a letdown, and yeah. You know, if you weren't there for shopping, and you weren't lucky enough to be a D23 member and get tickets to the D23 events, you know, it was a whole lot of nothing. You know?
I think actually what was really interesting, and you and I know this because we were on a couple Facebook groups with people who were planning events and stuff. To me, the bigger issue or the bigger events were actually from, you know, small groups of podcasters or bloggers and stuff who were getting together and did stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and even like Lou Mangiello had an event that weekend and so on and so forth. So I think that was kind of interesting that a lot of people did get together and do things in Epcot.
Right. Well, you know,
without
and it's
Disney.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to me, too, that so many people are celebrating the history of a park that once was, you know, I mean, they're getting together to talk about, oh, do you remember how great, you know, Journey into Imagination was? Or do you remember how great the Horizons Pavilion was? You know, I mean, it's just funny to me. They're not celebrating the current Epcot. They're celebrating things that are no longer even there. So, and they're, you know, they're buying all this merchandise, you know, in celebration of, you know, like memories, basically. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, for the true diehards, I guess they really enjoyed it. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who said they had a fantastic time that weekend, but I don't know. I can't see the majority feeling like that, you know? I just wish the emphasis wasn't so much on limited edition merchandise or exclusive merchandise.
That's so true. They almost should get rid of it, but they're not so stupid because it's a huge revenue point for them.
Sure.
Yeah,
and that's yeah.
People go crazy.
Right. And that's exactly it. I mean, if you made nothing limited edition, I mean, if t-shirts were all just, you know, they printed thousands of them and, you know, pins weren't limited edition and stuff, they probably wouldn't have that appeal and you wouldn't have that crush of people going to Mouse Gears.
But even if they had 5,000 shirts printed and they said that's the limited edition, they're still going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you know, they should make enough for everyone who's there to be able to get what they want.
Right. No, I fully agree. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen something at the front of the park, you know, beforehand.
You did. Those four streamers. Stop complaining.
Yeah, and I didn't get one. That's the thing. I mean, you know.
Well, they immediately came out and started cleaning it up.
Right. I was gonna grab one and sell it on eBay, you know.
Yeah, you probably could have, actually.
So, but, you know, I can say we were there. You know, we've been to two anniversary events now. And I don't know. I guess my hope is that, you know, when they, you know, if they celebrate, I don't know what the next one's going to be. If they're going to celebrate, you know, Magic Kingdom's 45th or Epcot's 35th or, you know, whatever the next big anniversary event is, I hope that they work out the kinks, you know, but and they didn't have cupcakes. You notice they didn't have Epcot 30th anniversary cupcakes.
Yeah, they did. I saw pictures.
Did they really? Oh,
yes.
I didn't see them.
I did. They were kind of ugly.
Yeah, but so were the ones in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I didn't realize they had them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's Epcot.
I mean, that might have been.
Okay. Well, moving from Epcot over to the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom this time of year does Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which I happen to love. Love, love, love. But I did not get the opportunity to go this year. I got to go last year and the year before. But you guys, did all three of you go?
Yes.
We did, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Tell me about it.
I think it's safe to say we all love it, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, but how could you not? All the decorations. I love all those wreaths and all the fall colors, and I just love it. So,
well, I guess we should start by explaining to people what it is, because I know there's, you know, potentially people who have never been and, you know, have never heard us talk about it. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is, like Lisa alluded to, a special ticketed event held on select nights in the Magic Kingdom. from 7 to midnight. Typically starts in, late September? Around late September?
No, earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
early,
like mid-September.
Mid-September, okay. Mid-September, and wow, it jumped down my throat.
As always.
Mid-September and runs through about,
somebody's,
I believe,
gotta
November.
Somebody's got to keep you in line, Bob.
That's right. What would I do without you, Lauren? That's right. And runs through about November 1st or 2nd. I think November 2nd is the last party this year. So this is select nights, and this is a separate ticketed event, meaning they only sell a select number of tickets, and you do need a separate party ticket to get in. And the price varies depending on the night and time of year. I mean, you know, tickets for, you know, Halloween night are obviously more expensive than, you know, tickets in, you know, let's say mid-September. But they run, what, about $55, $58 yeah. for an adult and
$53 for a child.
Yeah.
That's pre-purchase. If you purchase them at the gate, they're a little bit more.
Right. Yes.
Just $4 or $5.
But if you know you're going, you know, plan in advance. You know, that's good. While the party runs 7 to midnight, they have typically every year allowed guests to get in beginning at 4 o'clock. So that's great. So you can actually get a full 8 hours in the park. And then, you know, when it comes closer to party time, they begin a wristband distribution. So you would just go and get a wristband so that, you know, they know that you are a party attendee. This way, when the park closes to other guests who are not attending, they know, you know, while they can't really force them to leave, those people can't shop at any of the stores. They're not served any food or you know, beverages, and they can't ride any of attractions. So most people, you know, do leave the park, which is,
technically you could stay and watch the parade, I guess.
Technically you could, and the fireworks, but I think most people tend to leave, right? And you know, which mm-hmm. leads to lower crowd levels typically for these party nights. You know, the beauty of these events is there's a couple of things that I personally like. One is the ability for not only kids to dress up, but adults who choose to do so can dress up, which is not Woo-hoo! Something they allow. So, yeah. And I mean, we saw some really elaborate costumes.
Yeah, me too.
The night we were in attendance, I think by far the best ones we saw were people who were dressed up like hitchhiking ghosts.
Yeah, we saw those people. They were really good.
Do you have pictures?
Yeah. Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
It's on the Mouse Chat Facebook page, one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw that.
Posted.
They were really nice. I was like, can I take your picture? And they were like, absolutely. I said, do you mind if it ends up on the Facebook page? They're like, no. So, yeah. People love like to have their picture taken. So.
They told us, the one gentleman told me that they had spent 3 years developing their costumes.
Wow. So
that was pretty serious. But we saw a lot of fun costumes, too. I mean, we saw somebody dressed like Russell, the child from Up, you know, and he had the balloons.
That would have been cute.
And we saw somebody dressed like the magic mirror. I thought that was cool.
That's a good one.
There was a really tall guy, taller than me, and I'm, you know, close to 6'6", dressed like Peter Pan. That was a little creepy. It was.
Wait, could you imagine Bob running around in like green tights?
Yeah, I mean, I'd look more like the Jolly Green Giant than I do Peter Pan. You know, so that was a little weird. But I mean, it was nice to see people get into the spirit. So I love that. Of course, kids dress up, but I love that adults dress up too. So we didn't this year, but Donna and I have in years past, dressed up. But I love that. I mean, what about trick or treating? You guys love doing that?
Yeah, I'm not big on the trick or treating, but I've never gone to the Halloween party with my kids, so.
Okay. Well, I mean, I stopped at some of the candy stops because even if you're not in costume, they'll give you candy.
Yeah.
And it's a really good selection. I'm kind of surprised. You know, I thought they would go.
I usually wait for them to hand them out at the parade.
Okay.
Because they always hand out candies at the parade.
I feel like I've been eating so much junk while I'm down there that the candy is like, oh God, please don't give me candy because I'll be eating this at 2 a.m. So,
well, I kind of expected them to cheap out and get like sweet tarts or, you know, like dollar store candy, like, you know, like licorice, you know, black licorice or, you know, like mints, you know, that you would get at a diner. But no, I mean, you know, you get like quality stuff. You get like Snickers and Tootsie Rolls and Almond Joys for those people that enjoy coconut. Gross. you know, just a really good selection. And I also noticed, which I guess I never had seen before, but I guess it's always been there. They also have fruit stands. So if you don't want candy, you can get a piece of fruit.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That's un-American.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can have a Snickers bar.
That's
or
like
you can
getting
have
an apple in your stocking at Christmas time.
Well, I thought that was, you know, but it's neat. And, you know, they have these candy trails. So, I mean, if your kid wants to go, they have all these various candy stations. And, I mean, you can get quite the haul of candy, you know.
And they give you bags, too. When you come in, you can get a bag at the front to trick-or-treat with.
Yeah, and the candy when you leave, too. So, yeah. I mean, you can really, really make out with as far as how much candy you get. I like the trick-or-treating aspect of it.
I like the parade the best.
Me too.
And generally, I really just like these parties because, you know, you don't have to wait in line and you can kind of hang out at night. Like, you know, often during, you know, the fall and late December or mid-December, there's not a lot of late nights in the park. So it's kind of a good guarantee that you're going to get, you know, to stay in the park late at night, at least one night.
Yeah.
So
I love the beginning of the parade, too, when the Headless Horseman comes down.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
I was so upset when I was there that Sunday night. He didn't ride either parade.
I wonder why. Do they sometimes just not do it or what? The horse gets stage fright?
He was scared.
Attitude.
But no, they said that it was drizzling when they were supposed to do it at first. Oh. They delayed the parade. And then I guess they squeegeed the streets and it stopped raining and the parade went off. But he didn't ride. They said he'd probably ride the second show as long as it didn't rain. And the second one, we waited again and he didn't ride. I was bummed.
Right. Well, and that's just it. I mean, for safety reasons, if it's wet, they don't like the Headless Horseman to ride. And in fact,
right,
they did have the other day. Unfortunately, I guess the ground was a little wet, but they thought it was safe. And unfortunately, the horse stumbled a little bit and the Headless Horseman got, you know, I wouldn't say he got kicked off. I'd say he fell off. You know, when the horse stumbled, he fell off.
Yeah.
And he recovered and both he and the horse were okay. But yeah, that is, I guess, a concern. So that's why he doesn't necessarily always ride. But if you are there, you know, definitely make a point of catching the front of the parade and, you know, the start of the parade, because, yeah, watching the Headless Horseman gallop, you know, down on his horse is, I agree, is awesome. You know, and a great start.
You know, one of my favorite things too there is I love the character dance parties. And I love that you get to really, really interact with the characters at those parties. It's not like you have to wait in a line or, you know, they're just dancing there with the kids. It's a lot of fun to watch.
And what's nice too about, you know, the characters at these parties is that they're in costume too. So, you know, you get to see like Mickey and Minnie and stuff.
Right. That was the other thing I was going to say, is that the characters that are out, some of them are unique characters and some of them are dressed up like Halloween.
All right. So
let me ask you a question then. Okay. So kind of going off the topic of how great the party is, do you think it's really worth it? Because it's almost, you know, like it's kind of about the same amount of money as adding a park hopper to your ticket. And I just talked to a lady today and she was like, oh, do you think we should go? And there were five of them. And I said, you know, if you really have to think about how much you're spending and you have a limited budget, I would add the park hopper to my tickets before I would spend it on the Halloween party.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Really?
No. Especially if you're not somebody that goes a lot.
Yeah,
like
that's
somebody
true.
Like us, we need the hopper because we can't physically stay in a park. we need to be able to jump around. But somebody who's not been there before or is not as familiar with the parks, I think they can totally get away with a base ticket and enjoy this as something different.
It is something that I think is a great experience.
And a lot of times I'll tell people to kind of do Animal Kingdom that day and then do the party at night, because Animal Kingdom is closing, usually closes by 5. And it's a way to get 2 parks in one day.
Hmm. Well, that is an idea. I mean, granted, it is a lot of money when you're talking about the average family of 4 people. But I don't know. I think it's one of the best special events that Disney does. You know, the parade itself. I mean, aside from the Headless Horseman, you've got various characters and costumes riding on float. You've got the gravediggers who come out and they're awesome. You know, oh, they've got their shovels, you know, on
yeah,
the ground.
Yeah, that gives me the chills though when they scrape those shovels on
yeah,
the sidewalk.
Yeah, and then you see the sparks. Like, yeah, you see the sparks flying.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
You know, I love the, and you can see the energy.
I really
just a very energetic parade. I love that you see characters in there that you don't normally see otherwise, like the hyenas from Lion King.
Yeah.
You know, I love seeing them in the parade because that's, you know, that's different. And what is he, the witch doctor from Princess and the Frog?
Oh, you know, yeah, I got a great picture of him.
You know, and he was so energetic. I mean, he was really jamming. So that's, you know, that's great. As just a quick tip here with the parade, the parade runs twice during the night, and typically the second parade is far less crowded. So if you find it difficult to get a seat for the first parade, maybe skip it and, you know, plan on seeing the second one.
And Hallowishes is probably my second. I love Wishes. I love Hallowishes too, though. They do a great job with that fireworks.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with Hallowishes, and I love that they shoot off the fireworks on the, I guess you would say, on the periphery, like on the sides.
Yeah.
You know, at parts of the park that you don't normally see fireworks go off. Just huge explosions. I love that. I agree.
Yeah. And the other one that I love, and Chris, I'm sure, is going to agree with me on this one, is how they do the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Outside with, what's her name? The lady out there.
The opera singer. She's like a ghost opera singer. Yeah, she's really funny. Like, she rags on people as they walk by. And yeah, she's cute. Yeah.
And she's only out during that, right?
Right.
Yeah, she's only out then, which is too bad because it would be sort of a fun thing to have out now and then at the Haunted Mansion.
I agree. Well, I just love the way they do the lighting that, you know, during the party. You know, the castle is kind of the castle. The Haunted Mansion is bathed in like that bluish green.
Yeah.
And they've got that fog, you know, effect really working, and it just makes it seem so much creepier. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Why don't they do this like all the time?
Yeah.
You know?
Like Main Street, after Hallowishes goes off, Main Street's coloring is different too.
Yeah. So yeah, I love that. I mean, what do you think, guys, as far as what tips you could give people, because there's so much to do. I mean, it's kind of hard to do it all in one night. I mean, don't you think, with the parade, the fireworks, the character, meet and greets, the candy, you kind of have to pick and choose, right?
That's what we experienced last year, because you go straight from the parade to the fireworks, get your spot for that. And
they have the stage show.
Right. There's just so much to do.
Me personally, I don't like to do the rides that night. I like to do all the other things that night.
And I think that's what makes doing the rides so great, is because the lines are so short.
Right. I think that it depends on what you're looking for. If you're a person who's really into characters, do that first. Get that out of the way. If you're a person who likes all the dances and everything, definitely do that, because you're coming to the party for the extra stuff, not necessarily to ride. On the other hand, if you're like me, you're probably skipping everything and just going on the rides. So,
yeah, you head right to Haunted Mansion. I know you.
I did.
How many times did you ride it?
You know what? I didn't ride it one time that night.
Wow.
I only was there a couple of hours.
Did you buy shoes instead that night?
No, I didn't buy any shoes that night. But I just... I got over there, and Bob, did we ride? Did I ride anything when I was with y'all? Maybe I think we went on Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, we did Buzz Lightyear. Yes.
Yeah,
you did.
I only stayed, and that was unusual for me. Usually, when I go to a party, I'm going to ride everything over and over again, and I will go to the parade, but that's not my focus. Even though the parades are fantastic at these parties, but yeah, that night was a little unusual. I was really tired, so I'd only stayed a couple hours.
I will say that I really think what you guys said is true. You kind of have to pick and choose, and if you're into characters, do that. If you like the dances, you know, do that. You know, if attractions are your focus, but you want to experience some of the party stuff, maybe get there at 4 o'clock and try to do some of your top attractions before the party starts, so that, yeah, you know, you're in a good position, you know, at 7 o'clock to, okay, I'm going to go see characters, or I'm going to grab a spot for the first parade because I want to see the first parade of the evening versus the second. I think it would be a shame for people to pass up, who have never been, you know, to this event, to pass up seeing the parade and seeing Hallowishes, because they are not your ordinary. I mean, you know, Disney parades and Disney fireworks are awesome anyway, but it's like they almost kick it up a notch, you know. For
they
those,
really do, and you've got to wonder how they can make perfection better.
Well, yeah, it's Disney magic, pixie dust.
Yeah. Oh, that's Wayne's World.
Sorry. You're right, though.
That's funny.
I think it's a great event, and hopefully I'll get there next year. Just didn't happen this year.
So, I mean, we're all voting must do, right?
Must do.
Yeah. I actually don't vote a must do.
Okay.
I think it's expensive. I think you have to really think about it. It's, you know, for a family of five, it's $300. So I think it's a must do if you can do it without flinching the price.
Okay, I agree to that.
Yeah, okay. I think it's fair.
And when we do it, we usually don't do a park day. We spend the day at the hotel and then do that as our park day.
Yeah. That's actually a smart way to do it, because you can't expect, especially with, you know, having little kids, you can't expect them to kind of trudge through the Halloween party if they've been going all day. So,
And then maybe plan even the next morning that they might be a little bit tired, especially if you stayed late into the evening to see, you know, fireworks, or you stayed until midnight.
Yeah.
You know? Or they might be, you know, hopped up on sugar and, you know, up at 4 a.m. ready to go.
Well, if you feed them enough cupcakes, they can get through anything.
Okay.
No, doesn't work that way.
Is that your parenting style?
That's my parenting skills. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, you've gotten your kids, you know, this far in life. You know,
you must
be
doing something right.
Right. Exactly. It's you know. Yeah.
But I have to say, though, what do you guys think? Like, my opinion with if I had to compare between the Christmas party and the Halloween party. I personally like the Halloween party better.
Yeah, I
hands
I
down.
Yeah,
I think I'm Halloween
down.
Too.
Halloween.
I am all about Christmas. I love Christmas, but I like the Halloween party better.
I prefer the Christmas party more just because I like Christmas better. But I think the Halloween party is probably better for most people. It's certainly more value. It's more creative. There's more going on.
True.
It's not as cold.
You know what? If they could just make it snow on Main Street for the Halloween party, I'd be
well. That
set.
That would be very strange.
Do you know what I said? Do you know what I said to my client? She said, "Well, what do they have at the Christmas party?" And I said, "They have snow on Main Street." And then I remembered she lives in Alaska, and she laughed at me. It's like, well, I live in North Carolina. We get like 5 flakes a year, so it's kind of a thrill.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I live for Christmas, and I think Disney does Christmas beautifully. But there's something about the way they do their fall decorations, just in general. I mean, it's not like they decorate separately for Halloween. I mean, the decorations that they put out for fall with all the pumpkins and the leaves and the wreaths and the creepy straw.
Yeah, I love,
you know,
all
pumpkins.
Those colors.
Yeah, it's just so well laid out, and I noticed for the first time this year that some of the pumpkins are carved to be themed, like the ones by the ice cream parlor have carvings of like ice cream cones on them, you know, and the ones by Casey's are carved, you know, to look like, you know, like a hot dog type thing. And so, you know, they carry the, yeah, I mean, they carry the theming throughout. So I love the lighting that they do for the Halloween party. It's just, it's so well done. So, I mean, if I'm comparing the two, I mean, yeah, I've got to say Halloween party over Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Do you know what I just took from that diatribe, Bob, that Bob lives for Christmas? And I sort of figured you'd be a Christmas Scrooge.
Yeah.
No, I'm the kind of guy who, it's funny, Christmas Scrooge, I'm like Ebenezer. I'm actually the kind of guy who listens to Christmas music now.
Oh, you're worse than me.
I just really like it. I mean, I was actually playing, Charlie Brown Christmas music yesterday. And, you know, I'm the type of person who wants the tree up, you know, the day after Thanksgiving so that you have the maximum time.
Oh, that's me.
Up. And I love that people seem a little bit nicer to one another. I love,
that's true.
You know, the hustle and bustle. I love the bright
lights. You don't
live
in Jersey.
No, but I did. And even in Jersey, they seemed slightly
nicer. No, they're
nicer.
Not. In Jersey, they'll tackle you to get a gift.
That's true. But you know, in spirit, I think they're nicer. But no, I mean, I love the spirit of the season. I love and I do love the colors. I love the Christmas lights. I love the music. I love the trees. I love giving gifts to people.
Let me get you my address.
Didn't I get you guys those scarves last year?
You did, and yep. I love that scarf. I wore that a lot indoors because my house was so cold.
I think we need to wear them for our media preview.
Do we really?
That wraps up this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes or mousechat.net and download them there. You can send in your listener questions and comments to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.